An interesting little statement, isn't it? Tucked away in the 17th Psalm. Thou hast visited me in the night. Hope you'll not forget it. I hope you'll think about it a long time. Thou hast visited me in the night. Over and over again in the Bible, we're admonished to come to the Lord and visit with Him. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. James puts it this way, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto thee. John says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Again he says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Isaiah said, everyone that thirsteth, let him come. And so the Lord stands this morning and he says, come to me. If you're sad, come to me. If you're lonely, come to me. If you're lost, come to me. I was reading this past week of the conversion, again of the conversion of Charles Spurgeon, who was a 15-year-old lad, heard a lay preacher preach one night in a snowstorm, so bad that the preacher could not even arrive. And he preached, look unto me and be ye saved. And I've read Spurgeon many times who said, the Lord says, come to me, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, look. There's life for a look at the Savior. Fellas, turn me down about that much this morning, please. He said, come. It's an amazing thing that the Lord would say, come. It's quite hard to understand that God, the great God of the universe, would invite us to come to Him. But He wants us to come to Him. That's a wonderful thing. Hard to understand, but a blessed thing, that God, who is perfect, would invite imperfect people to come to Him. That God, who is righteous, would invite unrighteous people to come to Him. That God, who is strong, would invite weak people to come to Him. That God, who is perfect, would invite imperfect people to come to Him. Unusual, startling thing, and hard to understand. But even more difficult to understand is this passage. Thou hast visited me. Thou hast visited me. It's an amazing thing to think that God would let us come to Him, but to stop to think that God would come to us and visit us. That's what the psalmist meant in the 8th Psalm when he looked up and scanned the heavens and looked at the sun, the moon and the stars, and he said, when I consider the works of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the word man there in the Hebrew is the word Enosh, which means weak man. What is the insignificant, weak, puny man that thou art mindful of him, that you would think of him? But then he goes on to say, or the son of man that thou visitest him. To think that God would visit us. To think that God would come to see us. An amazing thing. An amazing thing. David saw his own littleness and saw God's bigness. He saw his own weakness and saw God's strength. He saw his own minuteness and saw God's infiniteness. He saw his own inabilities and saw God's complete abilities. He saw his own importunities and saw God's complete power. And David said, you could visit me. Suppose, for example, today, some famous person, a famous preacher like Billy Graham, or a famous politician like Watergate, like we used to have. Suppose that the president of our nation were to come by your house, knock on the door today. You go to the door and he said, how you do? I'm Richard Nixon. Oh, good night. Good night in my house. Is a fright? I know, I've seen it. And that's a fright. And what can I do? Richard, the fact that he'd come to see me, it'd be an awesome thing and an unbelievable thing to receive an invitation to the White House. But more than that, to receive a visit from the White House. And David said, I cannot believe that God would invite me to him. But when the God of the universe would come to visit me, that's even more difficult to believe. Now, this statement, thou hast visited me in the night. He didn't say, thou hast visited me when the sun is shining at noonday, but thou visitest me in the night. He didn't say, thou hast visited me when things were going well and everything was hunky-dory. He said, thou hast visited me in the night. He didn't say, "Thou hast visited me when I'm on the top and I've got plenty of money in the bank and I'm in health and everything is fine." He said, "Thou hast visited me in the night." Did you know this morning, listen to me, did you know God's more concerned about the poor in this room than He is the rich? Did you know this morning God's more concerned about visiting the one who has cancer? And several do in this room this morning. God's more concerned about visiting with you than He is those of us who are in good, seemingly good health. Did you know God's more concerned about visiting this morning the folks in this room who are lonely than the folks who have plenty of friends? Did you know our God is more concerned about visiting those this morning who are sad and have burdens than those who are happy and whose load is light? Did you know God is more concerned about visiting this morning with that college student who doesn't know how he's going to pay his bill and that administrator who needs the money? Did you know God's more concerned about visiting with the college student who can't pay his bill than He is with the student that has his family sending the money every month? Did you know God's more concerned this morning about being with the orphan than He is about being with the child that has good parents? Did you know God's more concerned this morning about being with a bus kid than He is being with the kids whose parents are deacons and Sunday school teachers in our church? Did you know God's more concerned this morning about visiting the widow than He is the lady who has a good husband? God is concerned about the weak. God visits us in the night. Now, we can come to Him in the daytime. We can come to Him anytime. But God says, "I make my visits in the night." If you don't believe it, check your Bible sometime and find the places where God visited. I don't mean the times where people came to God, the time when God came to people. For example, one of the first times you'll find when God visited man in the form of Jesus Christ is when Jacob was on his way on a 500-mile journey away from home. You recall the story of Jacob, don't you? You folks who go to First Baptist know I don't care much for Jacob. I just don't like him. I love everybody but Jacob. When I get to heaven, I'm going to hug everybody but Jacob. Big sissy, home making soup while his brother was gone hunting. I haven't got any use for a sissy. Good night. I've often said that if Jacob were running for president against McGovern, I'd vote for McGovern. Jacob. But God loved Jacob. And you recall when Jacob had a brother whose name was Esau. They were twins. But Esau was born first. But Jacob was born hanging on to the heel of Esau. I mean, before he got out of the womb, he was after Esau. And he was born hanging on to the heel of Esau. Esau was the firstborn, so his was the birthright. Esau was the firstborn, so his was the blessing of the father. But don't you recall how that Esau had been out in the field hunting and Jacob was making some chili or some stew back at home? Esau came in and said, "I'm about to die. I'm going to die. I'm about to starve to death. I've got to have something to eat or I'm going to die." And Jacob said, "Give me your birthright and I'll give you a bowl of soup." And he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Esau did. "Oh, you say that's a foolish thing." Not as foolish as selling it for a bottle of whiskey. It's not as foolish as selling it for a suck on a cigarette. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, and he tricked Esau. But that isn't all. When the father came to die, when Isaac came to die, he called the oldest son in to bless him. Now, Isaac was a hairy fella. Esau was a hairy fella. Jacob was smooth skin. But Jacob came in. His father was blind. He came in, and he got some skin and put it over his hands and came to his father. And Isaac reached out and rubbed his hand and said, "Yep, that's Esau, okay, it's hairy." He didn't know that was Jacob's hand covered with the skin of an animal. And he said, that's Esau. And Jacob said, "Bless me, father." And Isaac gave the blessing that was rightfully Esau's to Jacob, and Jacob tricked his brother. But Jacob, he was a little mother's boy, and God delivered me from mother's boys. You mothers that make sissies out of your boys. You know where Jacob learned to make soup? Rebecca taught him to learn to make soup. He ought to have been out hunting with his dad and playing ball with his dad and becoming a man instead of a little old sissified soup maker. God pity him. And so Rebecca came and said, "Sweetheart," in the Hebrew she said, "Sweetie pie." Said, "Sweetheart, and look, you ladies, call your sons by their names, or call them Buster or Joe or Oswald, but don't call them darling and sweetie face and sweetheart and precious little angel. So what you do? Sons, if your mothers call you that, let me know. Would you please now get an ice pick and help you stick it in her eyeball?" So Rebecca called Jacob and she said, "Jacob," she said, "sweetie face," she said, "Esau's going to kill you." Esau found out what Jacob had done, and he could kill him. And I wish he had him. But anyway, he could have killed him. And Esau said, "I'll get my hands on him, and I'll kill that fellow." And Rebecca came and said, Jacob said, Esau's going to kill you. You better take off. I said, what you do? You go back down home. You go back down to Kentucky. That was their Kentucky. You go back down to Kentucky, and you find a wife there from some of those simple Kentucky gals. All Kentucky gals are simple. And you find a Kentucky gal, and you go back down home and get your wife. But bear in mind, Jacob had tricked Esau. He had tricked him out of his birthright. He had tricked him out of his blessing. And God has a way of paying back folks that do wrong. So Jacob goes down to the far country, and he finds a lovely lady, and he falls in love with her. Her name is Rachel. Oh, what a beautiful gal Rachel was. And so Jacob said, I want to marry your daughter. And her father, her name Laban? Laban. Her father said, yes, you may have her, but you have to work 7 years to get her. Oh, he worked 7 years, and the Bible said it was just like a day. He loved her so much. Every day for 7 years in the hot steel mills of the far country, he worked in the blast furnaces, but it didn't matter. He said, boy, I'm working for Rachel. I'm working for Rachel. And the funniest thing happened. I've laughed ever since I read it when I was a kid. Jacob he got married and married to Rachel, he thought. And you folks on the honeymoon, you'd appreciate this. And he thought. And so he took her home and lifted off the veil and said, who are you? It was Leah, his sister. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. You see, you trick and God tricks you. I'd like to have sent Esau a telegram and told him about that. But Jacob went to Laban and said, I worked 7 years for Rachel and got Leah. He said, you have to work seven more years. 14 years. That's where the song, 7 years with the wrong woman, came, I guess. And 14 years he worked to get Rachel, but he got tricked. But now, you're sure, even though he was a Christian, he wasn't much one. He was a trickster and a prankster. But the first night he's away from home, he needed a place to stay. And all the Holiday Inns were filled. It had no vacancy on all the Howard Johnson's restaurants. And in those days, they just made ice cream anyway. And Jacob was lonely and homesick. You see, he'd never spent the night away from Mama before. He'd always had Mama tuck him in, say, precious little darling, good night, sweetie face. And but he was lonely. And the Bible said he got him a rock, and he made that rock for a pillow, and put his head on that rock. And no doubt, Rebecca, she loved him. She meant well. You ladies that sissify your boys, you mean well, and you think you love them. And you're not bad ladies. You just want to make sissies out of your boys. She loved him, and no doubt she's wondering, where is my boy tonight? I wonder where Jacob is. And there's Jacob lying out with a rock for a pillow, and the Lord looks down and says, he's not much of a Christian, but he is a Christian. And he's tricked Esau, but he's still my child. And he's not what he ought to be, but he's still one of mine. And he's lonely. And the dear Lord came and visited Jacob. Don't you recall? Jacob said, I'll call this place the house of the Lord, for God was here. And surely I've met the Lord face to face. God said, I'm going to visit him. He's one of my children. This morning, let me say this. If you're one of God's children, he visits you in the hours of discouragement. When you're lonely, he says, I'm going to, in the night. Now in the daytime, no, you come to God. In the night, God will come to you. When the sun is shining brightly and all the money bills are all paid and the body's in good health, then you come to God. But when you get in an hour of loneliness and discouragement and bereavement, God comes to you. That man sitting out here this morning in this room with his life, mind filled with anxiety, who has cancer lurking in his body, God comes to you. God visits in the nighttime. You know, my mother, God bless her, anytime I'd get skinned, I'd come to mother. If I'd get hurt, I'd come to mother. But I recall one day I was out playing ball. Many of you have heard me tell this story. I was always out playing ball. I was showing Dr. Billings and some of the folks a picture of me when I was 10 years old this morning. And I played outside so much, honestly, from in the Texas sun, from the time the sun went up, came up, the time it went down, I played outside in 105, 109, 154 degrees sometimes. And I got so brown, they thought I was colored. And when I'd get on a bus, the colored folks in those days sat back in the back of the bus. But I'd have to sit in the back of the bus sometime because they thought I was colored. Right? You saw the picture this morning. Looked just like a little colored boy. But I can recall one day I was out playing ball in the yard, and I was pitching, and a fellow was hitting. I always pitched or I wouldn't play. I was pitching, so I threw the ball in, and the fella hit a pop fly straight up. Well, I went in, and I decided I was going to catch the pop fly. But did you ever hit a pop fly and decide you want to hit it again? That's what he decided. You know, you hit one straight up, you get your bat, you're over there. You hit again, and that's exactly what he decided. And he did hit the ball, But he hit something else too, because I was trying to catch the ball, and he hit me right over the eye here. If you look carefully, you'd see a scar there. I thought I had met my maker. And after I got well, this fellow hit me, thought he'd made was going to meet his maker too. But I can recall that night I had to go get some stitches, and that night I was hurt, and my mother's afraid I had a concussion or a cracked skull, but you can't crack my skull. And mother thought I was sick, and I can recall coming and going that night. Now, that night, I didn't run to mother. If I got a skinned knee, I ran to mother, but I couldn't run to mother. And in the night, she came by my bedside, and she stayed there all night long. I wonder how many nights my mother's come and stayed by my bedside. If I had 104 fever, we didn't know how much I had. We couldn't afford thermometers in those days. We didn't know what thermometers were in those days. And you didn't feel the brow. Mother could tell by your pulse. She could feel your wrist here. You ladies do that still, huh? You ignorant, city-slicking Yankee. But anyway, so she'd feel the wrist here, and she could tell if I had fever. And I can remember many a night when I was real sick, waking up, and Mother came to me when? In the night. And that's what the Heavenly Father does this morning. He walks up and down these pews. He passes by the person that has a lot of money and drops up to the person who has a hard time making ends meet, and he visits you. You know why? It's in the night. And the Lord passes by the well people this morning, those of us who have strong, well bodies, and God sits down beside you folks who are not well, and the Lord visits you in the night. That's the way our Heavenly Father is. Mother always had a way of knowing when to come to me and exactly what to do. Now, God visits you in the night. I wish you knew all the burdens. Last night, when I left my study, absolutely, I couldn't believe all I'd heard. I could not believe all the things I'd heard Friday night, yesterday morning, yesterday afternoon, and last night as I was talking to people. And I drove home last night, and I just wondered, is anybody happy? Does anybody have a good life? Does everybody have burdens? Brother Helton came to my office yesterday afternoon late, almost crying. Or last night it was, almost crying. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I can't believe it. Something awful. I can't believe it." And I could hardly believe it myself. And I received a letter or two this week of stories unbelievable. But let me say this morning, are you lonely? He visits you in the night. Are you discouraged? He visits you in the night. Is your body racked with disease and pain? He visits you in the night. And David looks back and recalls the night hours. The sun is shining now, but wasn't last night. It's all fine now. The storm is still, but it wasn't last night. And David said, "Thank God he visited me in the night." But there's another story in the Bible about visiting in the night. You recall the story of Joshua? Joshua was the leader of all of Israel. Tomorrow morning, they're going to go across the Jordan River, and the Battle of Jericho is just ahead. A bunch of little Jews without any weapons, without any army, without any homes, without any tax money, without any command, without any organization, and they've got to conquer a great land for God and see the walls of Jericho knocked down and cross the Jordan River. And that night, and you don't know how many nights leaders do this, that night as Joshua tried to go to sleep, he couldn't. For tomorrow morning he faces the battle. Tomorrow morning he fights the enemy. And Joshua, maybe he goes out and he paces up and down, as I've done so many times while you're asleep. Maybe we have something facing us. And I recall before the college was built and we were trying to get money for the college, I can recall the night before I came to you and tried to raise money for the college, I paced the floor and walked the street and walked up and down the field. I can recall one night a few days before that, out in California, walking miles all night long and praying, walking up and down a freeway. And Joshua, tomorrow the battle. Oh, he knows God has promised, but he's fearful. And Joshua's alone out in the night. And suddenly he looked up, and the Bible says he saw an unseen captain. Unseen. Everybody but Joshua. "Who are you?" "I'm the unseen captain. I'll be with you in the battle tomorrow." "Who was that captain?" "It was Jesus Christ." "What was he doing?" "He was making a visit in the night." Why? One of his kids was about to fight a battle. One of his kids had a battle before him. And the Lord Jesus came and said, "I'm going with you." You know, I laugh a lot. And I enjoy good humor. And I can give a joke and I can take a joke. But did you know there are some scars underneath this coat? There are some battles and wounds underneath this coat. I've been preaching 28 years. I've seen several times when I thought I had a battle before me I could not win. Time and time again, I've seen a Jordan River and had no way to cross it. Time and time again, I've looked at Jericho's walls and wondered how I could ever get inside the city. But let me make a public announcement to you this morning. Every time there's been a great battle to fight, every time I faced the walls of Jericho, there's been the unseen captain who made a visit. I think the dear Lord Jesus looked down and said, "Angels, angels, I've got to make a trip. Angels, I'm going to leave for a while. Take care of everything. All you saints up in heaven, I'll be back after a while. I'm going to got something to do." Why? One of my men is facing a battle, and I'm going to go down. Let me ask you a question. What are you facing? The surgeon's knife? What are you facing? An examination about your health? What are you facing? A broken home? What are you facing? A wayward boy? What are you facing? Financial bankruptcy? What are you facing? Heart trouble? What are you facing? Convalescence? What are you facing? Whatever it is, the dear Heavenly Father will visit you. And so David said, "Blessed be God." He said it was nighttime a while ago, but he visited me in the night. There's a third time that God made a visit in the nighttime in the Old Testament, and that was to the Hebrew children. Don't you recall when they built that big golden image out of the plains of Dura? And the king said, "Everybody has to bow down and worship this image." And those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, "We'll not do it." In the nighttime, they built a fire. In the nighttime, they were cast into the fire furnace. The Bible said not one hair on their heads were singed. And the king couldn't sleep that night as they were in the fire furnace. He couldn't sleep, and he paced the floor. And he couldn't get any rest. He said, "Oh my, I feel bad about it." He got up the next morning and rushed down the fire furnace. "Hey," he said, "who put the other one in there?" And they said, "We only put three." He said, "There are four now." But their fourth one was, the Bible says, was like unto the Son of God. It was the Son of God. It was Jesus making a visit in the night. When his children are in trouble, he makes the visit. I must hasten to say, because of the lateness of the hour, one other time. We go back to Jacob again. Back to Jacob. 20 years passed. Jacob, by the way, Jacob married, he said, I want Rachel. And so he married. He said, I've got Leah, so I'll marry Rachel. Now he could have said, "Isn't that big of me?" But anyway, come on, laugh when I do that. Don't groan. But Jacob became very rich. Very rich. But listen to me. Listen to me. There's one thing Jacob couldn't forget. He couldn't forget Bethel, where he met God in the night. And one day the Lord came and said, "Jacob, arise and go back to Bethel." But Jacob said, "Lord," and I'm paraphrasing, of course, "Lord, look, my brother will kill me. Esau's a big husky guy and a hairy fella and a big strong fella, and I'm a little old sissy weakling and soup maker, and he'll kill me. Lord, I can't go back to Esau." And the Lord said, "Jacob, you go back and make it right with your brother." By the way, that's what God says to you this morning too. You make it right with your brother. You make it right with your sister. You make it right with that person that you against whom you hold a grudge or bitterness or you won't talk with. Make it right. And Jacob finally said, "Okay, I'll go, but he'll kill me. You know he'll kill me. Lord, they'll have my funeral service just before long." The Lord said, "Go get right with Esau." Now listen to me. Jacob came almost to Esau the night before. His family and all of his servants stopped to rest at a place called Jabbok, a river called Jabbok, J-A-B-B-O-C-K, I think, okay, Jabbok. But Jacob couldn't sleep. You know why? Tomorrow he's got to face Esau. He was scared. And so Jacob, he says to the people, "You stay here on this side of Jabbok. I'm going to go across the river." And Jacob goes across the river, and he walks and at night, and he paces, and he goes, and he says, Lord, I'm sorry I did what I did against Esau. I'm sorry. Oh, God, I paid for it. I spent all these years away from my mother and father. I spent all these years away from my home. I haven't seen Esau now in 20 years. Oh, God, I'm sorry. But I'm afraid. Lord, what can I do?" And the Lord looked down and said, "Angels, one of my kids is in the nighttime. I'm going to go down and be with him." And the Bible says, the angel of the Lord came. I think that was Jesus himself. The angel of the Lord came. And the Bible says, Jacob wrestled with him all night long. And then he said, finally, Lord, I'll go talk to you. I'll make it right. If he kills me, I'll make it right. And so Jacob got a bunch of things to give him, a bunch of gifts to give Esau, trying to buy him off, you know. And he went to Esau the next day, and Esau looked at Jacob, and Jacob was, the Hebrew says, he was scared to death. He was trembling, and he came to Esau, and I think he said, Esau, I've suffered 20 years because I stole that birthright. And I've suffered 20 years because I got your blessing. Esau, okay, if you're going to kill me, go ahead. You said 20 years ago you're going to kill me. Go ahead and kill me. Fellow worked 7 years and got the wrong woman, ought to want to die anyhow. And he said, go ahead and kill me. But here's the thing about it. When the Lord makes a visit in the night, he works on both sides of it. And Esau said, Jacob, he said, the Lord's worked in my heart too. Forget it. Jacob said, forget it. You're not going to kill me? Of course I'm not going to kill you. God's worked in my heart too. And Jacob said, okay, take all these gifts. Esau said, take them back. You don't have to worry about that. And there they did what every Christian ought to do. They made it right with the person against whom they had ill will. And oh, the sweetness of the reunion. And God visited them in the night. Whom does God visit in the night? God says, come to me in the daytime. But his children in trouble, he visits in the night. His children facing a battle tomorrow, he visits in the night. His children who are lonely and discouraged, he visits in the night. But wait a minute. People who want to come to him and run a conviction, he visits in the night. A man told me, a few weeks ago, said, Pastor, I walked in that door right back there. He was in this room. I walked in that door back there one Sunday morning. He said, I'd heard a lot of bad things about you. Of course, anything you hear bad about me is a lie. But I heard a lot of bad things about you. He said, I came to criticize. I came to cuss you. And I walked in that back door. He said, I had a seat on one of the seats back in the back, the overflow chairs. And he said, the choir came out and they sang a song. And he said, I couldn't shake it. He said, something began to burn right in here. And he said, you stood up and prayed. He said, you didn't pray like other preachers had prayed. You didn't pray a fancy prayer. You didn't have on a robe. He said, you prayed like you meant it. And he said, I tried to hate you, but I couldn't. Oh, he said, didn't like it when you bawled the ushers out a little while, but he said, still couldn't hate you. And then he said, Reverend, he said, when you stood to read the scripture, and the scripture was read, he said, like an arrow, it pierced my soul. And he said, you started preaching, and I tried to hate you. I came to hate you. I came to cuss you. But he said, I began to burn on the inside, and something began to happen to me. I wanted God, he said. And he said, before you got through the sermon, I said, I wish you'd hurry up and get through so I can get down at the altar and get right. And he said, Pastor, now this, he said, I walked toward the aisle. Before I took one step down that aisle, the Lord Jesus Christ had met me. And he took me the rest of the way. That's what he'll do. This morning, if you have one twinge of conviction, one desire to get right with God, you go out to Jabbok and you say, dear God, I'm sorry. Brother, when you say, I'm sorry, look up. Jesus is going to come to visit you. He's going to come to visit you. Don't you recall the story of that prodigal son who was in the hog pen, and he suddenly came to himself and he said, good night. What am I doing here in the hog pen? My, as the servants of my father have better food to eat than I have. I'll arise and go to my father. Don't you recall when he got where the father could see him? The father left the house and ran down and welcomed him home. He made a visit in the night. He'll meet you in the night. If you're lonely, he visits you in the night. If you're discouraged, he visits you in the night. If you're sick, he visits you in the night. If you're financially bankrupt, he visits you in the night. And this morning, if you'll take one step to Jesus, he'll visit you in the night. Let us pray.